Hari Hraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinatha Maranavahan. So it's page 70. Like Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We're trying to connect with the devotees in the Mahalakshmi and Radha something. I think we got it. Radha Seva. Okay, there's Radha. And add people. Online. What's her name? Mataji's name. It's a very strange name. Yeah, but it's more complicated than that. Ah, there it is. Mari Chanapuhu. Got it. Okay. Call group.
If there are on one place, it's better that they will be on our computer.
They're not. One's in New York. One's in New York. Hare Krishna. Here we are in the classroom, in the temple room with all the devotees.
Well, that's great, Maharaj. Thank you for the call.
Everybody says hello.
Hello.
We lost Mother Radha. She's online, though. Okay, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So the curtains are closing here in Radhadesh. Okay, she's not there. So yeah, we'll go ahead and start now. Here we are. And let me see now. I'm going to put this down below here. Bloop. I have to go maybe to... Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama. So we're doing this regular, what do we call it? We're doing this Bhakti Bhai Bhava course, something like that. Nectar of Devotion Level 2, like that. And then the morning we're doing the class, formal class, and it's kind of divided up into five parts for the week. And the first part today was the historical and political and philosophical background. You know? And there's a professor, David Haberman. Uh, He is, I think, a professor at the University of Wisconsin or Minnesota. And he's written many books on Gaudiya Vaishnava, Vaishnavism. And he appears to be actually a initiated devotee in the Nimbarka Sampradaya, like that. So he also did a whole translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, with the commentaries of Jiva Goswami and who else? Vishnath Chakravarti, like that. Hey, Santa Claus is not going to give you any presents. What's her name? Arinika. Shh, be quiet. Yeah. So, nice discussion. He talks about first about a little bit about the political ambience, and he explains that Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and their brother Anupam all came from a family of Karnataka Brahmins in South India. And because of some land disputes, they moved to the north. Their family moved to the north, their parents, on the bank of the Ganga. And as I can understand, all three of them were born there, so they grew up there. And they were doing quite well. Then they took some job, some government job, under the Nawab Hussein Shah, or else they were forced to do it somehow or other. But they were working with the Muslim government. And even though they were very, very materially very opulent, they weren't satisfied. You know? So then, of course, they left everything, and in different phases like that, they went to Vrindavan, they met Lord Chaitanya, they came back to Puri, they went to Vrindavan again. And at Lord Chaitanya's order, they wrote so many books explaining the cult of devotional service, established deities, and so many things like that, you know. So, and at the same time, he explains a little bit about the political ambience, that of course the Mughals, the Muslim sultans in Delhi were ruling everything. I think he says in the beginning was Lodi, Ibrahim, something Lodi, and they were... you know, maintaining everything in that environment. And after them came the Mughals with Barbar, Humayun, and Akbar. You know? And sometimes there was some Muslims who were very fanatical and, you know, even killing Hindus, and other times others were interested, friendly about understanding and exchanging ideas like that. And also politically, to try and create alliances with the Hindu kings against their own Muslim, you know, competitors. They were in alliance with a lot of them, the Hindu kings, like I think was his name, Maharaj Raj Singh, you know, from Jayapur and so on. So it was a very mixed ambience at that time of different political situations. And then Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan, the Goswamis, Narayana Bhatta Goswami, who then wrote the whole Braja Bhakti Vilas, which describes the whole parikrama and where all these sites of Radha and Krishna's pastimes are like that. Later, Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is pretty early. And then, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, and Ballabha Sampradaya. So many, many different people were there exchanging ideas, everything else. But I don't know if anybody hasn't. Today we're reading all this. You know, and also after that, after he describes the political ambience, he gives a whole history of rasa. The first person to talk about rasa, and pretty much rasa, it appears in the Agni Purana and places like that. But pretty much it will always remain within the theater. You know? According to Aristotle, the whole purpose of the drama was to experience the plot. You know, one thing after another, this is happening, that's happening. But Bharata Muni, who was the first authority in the drama in the Orient, in India, he said the whole purpose was to have an experience of rasa, like that. More like in jazz, again, there's no like melody in jazz. You just pick out a certain key and minor notes, major notes, and everybody improvises around that key, you know. So this developed, the ideas about this developed from Bharata Muni ahead to Abhinavagupta in northern in Kashmir. And he was a Shaiva, so his idea was the whole purpose was to get free from your false ego in the theater and come to peace in that and experience something almost like impersonal Brahman realization, but not quite, but something which would give us a taste of that. Yeah. But before him, there were other people who were saying that no, that the rasa was a very personal thing, and it was, you know, something in a very, very high, elevated personal experience. Then after him came Maharaj Bhoja, who's very famous from Rajasthan, and he had pretty much the same idea as Rupa Goswami, that these different sentiments that we feel when they mature into the spiritual level, they become spiritual rasa. So nice discussion, there's an introduction like that, the whole history. And you see that the terminology that Rupa Goswami is using is the same as the previous professors like that, but he expanded it to mean something for ultimate self-realization. He expanded it to be outside the theater, and maybe even gave a more detailed, you know, taxonomy than other people like that, listing of the names and processes like that. So I don't know, any of our students in today's readings, you have any questions or anything like that? So, it's pretty simple. That the part about rasa and so on, when you go through Abhinava Gupta, gets a little bit complicated like that, you know. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward, and it gives you a real feeling for where Rupa Goswami was situated at, like, at that time. Okay, so then if we look at the nectar of destruction, what is that nectar? Nectar of instruction. What's the Sanskrit name for nectar of instruction? Okay, and who wrote it? Yeah, so. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the, Prabhupada says, Bhakti, the nectar of devotion, the complete science of the devotional service. So nectar of instruction, there it is right there, is a summary, right? It's the essence, Upadesh Amrita, the essence like that. So in the introduction, Prabhupada says, there's a Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami, like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Srila Nartam Das Thakur has sung Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabihama Bhujabo Se Yugala Piriti. When I am eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, yeah, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to bestow upon human society the benediction of Mahaprasad, you know, the science of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, what is it? I was getting involved in the science program, the Bhaktivedanta Institute, but I didn't like science all that much. I was too rigid, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And so I was asking Tamal Krishnamars about, you know, the importance of the science preaching, everything else like that. So he stared at me like that, you know, very intense, you know, like that, Tamal Krishnamars, you know. He said, Prabhupada said over and over again for his entire last year, science preaching is my most important preaching program. You idiot. Yes, sir. Yeah. So after that, I saw Rabindra Swarup, who was also involved in it. And he said the same thing, but in a much more kind of friendly like way like that, you know. But yeah, it was very, very principled to Prabhupada's preaching, his whole point, because Rupa Goswami was existing in an ambience of Navanyaya, you know, logic. Everybody was trying to give everything a name, give it a relationship, put it in categories. In the West, this happened with Aristotle, right? Aristotle was a guy for giving every animal a different name, the species dividing up like that. And it was kind of like, you know, stuck in North Africa or someplace like that until some Arabic translations of Aristotle's works reached Europe. And then St. Thomas Aquinas took it up like that. At that time there was St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventura, and they were like, you know, same time, and they came down to take their doctorates in theology, I guess, from the University of Paris, and it was a competition who would take theirs first, Bonaventura or Thomas Aquinas. But the competition was not that they wanted to take it first, but they wanted the other person to take it first. Take it first. No, no, you take it first. No, 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 you take it first. No, 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 you take it first. No, I insist, you're better than I am, you take it first. No, no, I insist, you're taller than I am. No, I insist, like that. So it went on like that. Who would be more humble? You know? And so finally, Bonaventura won, like that. So Thomas Aquinas took it first. And he was very much attracted to this whole analytical Sankhya thing of Aristotle, you know. And Bonaventura was much more a synthetic thing of putting things together in harmony and that kind of thing, you know. But the Pope made a formal declaration that in all of our institutions, the works of Thomas Aquinas will be the standard. So he made him the kind of the Vyasadeva, the Acharya for the Christian Church. And that, of course, was the source of all knowledge at that time, pretty much. So at that point, our whole West took this whole very highly analytical view of reality as opposed to Bonaventura. At the same time, Rupa Goswami, when he was there, was all this Navanaya, this new logical system. So he had to deal with this and create this whole like kind of logical view of bhakti like that. So Prabhupada says right here, the Lord Chaitanya came to bestow upon us the benediction of the science of Krishna consciousness. Because now that's the ambience. And so if we want to explain something, we have to explain it in those terms. And then people will appreciate it. You know? And then after that, they can go to something more subtle. Okay. The most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna, and we're going to understand the science of Krishna, are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. So right in the preface, Prabhupada talks about this. It's not that we can't talk about it, but you see he doesn't go into much detail. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the best of the gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopala Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath. Several times Prabhupada mentions their names, like all. It doesn't just say six Goswamis, he mentions all the names like that. You know, maybe he's enjoying it, appreciating it. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis, and to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadeshamrita to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind in the 8 verses known as Shikshastaka, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrita so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. So we all know how elevated the Shikshastaka is. It's a whole chapter. It's just like everything's there. And so Prabhupada's putting the Upadeshamrita on the same level as the Shikshastaka. Actually, in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary on Avritti, which Prabhupada presents, he's saying that you should wear this around your neck, like that, hang this around your neck, Upadeshamrita. Without understanding these instructions, one cannot advance like that. Of course, Prabhupada gives them to this. You see them appearing in his books, like here and there. And all, okay, now that was kind of like a preface. You know, why was the book written? What's the purpose? What's the advantage? Now the next part is like an introduction. It's all kind of combined together because it's short. In all spiritual duties, in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. So there's a whole thing. One person was telling me, I've taken shelter of some of his god brothers, and they're giving more advanced knowledge, and I'm not following all the rules and regulations so strictly anymore because love is above the law, like that. So I said, no, first you must control your mind and senses or you can't make any progress. Everyone within the material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva-gun, by following the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami. And then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. Pretty powerful statement, huh? If you want to become fixed in goodness by following the instructions of Guru, you know, tesham eva nukam partam, aham agyana jam tamaha, nasiyatma amabhavasto gena dipena basvata, then Krishna will, in the heart, will give us the intelligence like that. So we should have respect for our intuition. And with that, we should confirm that intuition with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, like that. But it doesn't say we should get our knowledge from Guru and Sadhu and Shastra. It says we should, whatever realization we have, we should confirm with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So intuition is a very important part of our process. Okay. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the follower. So when an airplane is, when you're flying an airplane, how many people here ever fly an airplane? Okay, I got a few people who flew airplanes. Thank you. It's nice. So you have different gauges there, right? One tells you your pitch, like that, so many degrees. One tells you your roll, like that. And one tells you your yaw, you know? Because the airplane can actually do that, like that. So when the pilot's landing the airplane, this is called your attitude. These three things are called your attitude. So when the pilot is actually landing the airplane, he has to have, a good attitude, right, towards the runway. Because you have a bad attitude towards the runway, there's going to be what you might say is a rasa bhas, rasa vibhats. Yeah. So this is buddhi, intelligence, right? On the basis of our attitude, you know, Ishvaraham aham bogi, siddaham balavan suki. I am the controller, I am powerful, I am the enjoyer, I am happy. Yeah, okay. If you have that attitude towards life, you know, all good things are for me. Well, that kind of, you know, what'll be the result if you have that attitude in life? There's one American General S, one lady, she's an American general in the U.S. Army, and she's solid. She's a black lady. You know, I don't think anybody in this room would care to, you know, fight with her. She's a tough lady, you know. But her attitude is that just because you're occupying space in this world, nothing else, just because you're occupying space, you have a debt to other people, like that. So she has this very generous attitude in life. You know, everybody she sees, she feels. She starts off with the point, I owe people rather than they owe me, you know. So many attitudes, right? So Krishna consciousness is an attitude, buddhi, intelligence in the heart. On that basis, then we think about things, right? Once we have our attitude, then we start thinking, manas, thinking, feeling, I like it, I don't like it, willing, I will have it, like that, you know. So Prabhupada says, advancement in Krishna consciousness just depends on the attitude of the follower. A follower of the Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're man, woman, child, dog, cat, everybody. You must become a perfect Goswami. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis in Vrindavan. This is the title by which the director of each temple is known. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna must become a Goswami. Okay, I want to become a perfect... You want to become a perfect devotee of Krishna? Think about it right now, do you? Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. Must become a Goswami. Go means the senses and Swami means the master. Unless one controls his senses and mind, yeah, one cannot become a Goswami. To achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami and then a pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrita, which have been given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, okay, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. So we're looking at this as a national series. Other places probably mentions also these three. Well, Upadeshamrita is a summary. Everything is here, you know. It's in the code form like that. Then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Big Brother, the complete science. It's all there. Then Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava are dramas that demonstrate these things. He shows you how the different feelings and sentiments work together, the reactions. So if you put them on properly, you know, of course, they're very, very intense, you know, very incredible like that to actually express it. Rupa Goswami is Manjari, and here he's writing this drama. I think it took 15 years to write it or something. As a member, for example, there's one place where Krishna meets Satyabhama for the first time in Dwarka, and they're very attracted to each other, and she's saying something like, oh, but you already have a nice wife, Rukmini, so I'm sure you have no place in your heart for a second wife like me. And Krishna's saying, no, how can I ever, you know, you're this and that, goes on and on. And then Rukmini walks in, like that, with her friends, like this, you know, like 16 years old or something. She sees Krishna and Satyabhama. Satyabhama's just come there, you know. And she says, oh, I see you've met Satyabhama, like that. And Krishna says, oh, you're Satyabhama? Nice to meet you. Hi there. Hello there. Welcome to Dwarka. Yeah. Rukmini is very suspicious, you know. And now, you know, Krishna's in a real pickle because Rukmini is like, upset if he has more affection for Satyabhama, and Satyabhama will be more upset if he expresses more affection for Rukmini. And Purnamasi is there, the granny. So he says something which can be interpreted by Rukmini as meaning, amongst the stars, you are the moon, like that. And Satyabhama can look at it from her perspective and interpret it the same way for herself. And Purnamasi can interpret it as, well, I think it's a full moon tonight, probably won't see the stars, like that. So when you try to translate this into English, you know, so he's using puns, he's using so many things, you know. And so, yeah, here it is, the introduction, the complete science, and then finally, okay, now let's apply it, like that, let's relish it. So Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami has given us many books, such as Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagna Madhava, and Lalita Madhava. But Upadeshamrita constitutes the first instructions for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful. Hare Krishna. Of course, the question comes up, if these are neophyte instructions for beginning instructions for neophyte devotees, then why is he talking about living at Radha Kund, which even Narada Muni and the four Kumaras can't do like that? You know, I think it's neophyte in the sense that it covers everything, but it doesn't go into detail necessarily. You know? The preface starts off with kind of a modern thing. Who are we? Who are Bengali Vaishnavas? You can show a map of India, show Bengal, get people to say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, pronounce Sri Krishna Chaitanya in Sanskrit. You know, my gosh. It's the hand of God? The Wizard of Oz. Wow. Yeah. And then first verse is how to control your senses, which is common to every single religion, every culture. You know? In the Bible, I think it says, Isaiah, if you meet a man who has controlled his tongue, you have met a perfected man, like that. So same thing, that's the essence of the first verse, right? You know, three functions of the mind all come from the tongue, talking, thinking, anger. And the body, three functions all come from the tongue. This guy right there, you know. He's hiding. Like that. Yeah. But, you know, how much trouble has your tongue got you in? Like that. Yeah, like that, you know. And everything else, you know. So it all starts there. So if we control that, then there's, you know, six things that'll make it easy, six things that'll make it difficult. And all this, he's talking about association, but then in verses 4, 5, and 6, he really gets into association like that. What is association? Giving and receiving gifts, talking confidentially, working for somebody? No. That's just value given for value received. You know, like that. And then how to apply this with devotees, and especially Uttamadhikari. And 7 and 8, he goes back to the process, chant Hare Krishna, and get free from your attachment to material life and become attached to spiritual life, which is Shantaras, Abhi Sambandha. Then after that, to make more advancement, all the way up to the level of Raganuga, continue the same process. Chant Hare Krishna, worship the deity, read the Krishna book, and live in Vrindavan when you become purified. Live in the temple when you become purified. And then you take shelter of the esoteric association of a very advanced devotee. Actually, the history of Upadeshamrita, Mother Narayani told me that Prabhupada was in Calcutta, and he was dictating Chaitanya Charitamrita, right, that time. And then she was typing it. And Hrishikesha Nanda was visiting like that. You know? And he was reading books by apparently Gaudiya Math and everything else, but apparently Prabhupada wasn't too disturbed by this. And it was like he apparently was handling it properly. You know? So he says that he asked Prabhupada to give a translation, and Prabhupada said, I'm just too busy, I can't do it. And I said, please, Prabhupada. So I said, all right, you come every afternoon, I'll dictate, like that. So because of Hrishikesha Nanda, we have Upadeshamrita. So then he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I want to take a Siddha Pranali initiation. And this is where the guru tells you, your name is Labhangatika, you're a gopi, you wear red, green, and blue saris, you do this and that, you know, you meditate on that, you know, he reveals your swarup to you or something like that. You know? So Prabhupada didn't say no, but Prabhupada said, I will give it to you when you're ready. And he said, well, Prabhupada, but what if you're not here when I'm ready like that? So maybe you should give it to me now, you know. Prabhupada said, physical presence does not matter. When you are ready for it, I will give it to you. Like that. So that's that level. It's not something you just go and you get without, you know, you go to some Babaji's in Vrindavan and then they give it to you. No, it's something you have to first off be in the level of a Goswami. You have to be in the intuitive level where you can experience the esoteric presence of Prabhupada, Acharya, like that, you know. Yeah. So that's on up to the Raganuga Bhakti, text number 8, and it has to be executed in Vrindavan. Or again, Prabhupada says every corner of our temples is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha. I guess, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, associations here. So then that's text number 8, 9, yeah. Vaikuntaj Danitovara. And then it goes back in text number 10, it goes back to all the different kinds of association. And the purport probably expands a little bit more to include Vikarmis, Karmis, Gyanis, Vimukti Gyanis, Sadhana Bhaktas, Prema Bhaktas, Braja Bhaktas, Gopis, and Radharani. Yeah, like that. Anyway, anything else? That's it. So it's such a great book. And the purports probably gives like details. Yeah. So Karmis, what's a Karmi? You there. Yeah. He follows the rules and regulations of different acharyas, Socrates, Confucius. Confucius says, when you go looking for revenge, better you dig 2 graves before you go. Confucius is a very wise fellow. When you go looking for revenge, better to dig 2 graves before you go. So yeah, there are many, many wise people in this world, gyanis, who we follow them to get our fruity results like that. You know, Socrates, Muhammad, what else? Moses, yeah. Okay, this is a karmi, and karmi biapre tahare. This is in the Bible too, that Christ likes these people. They're nice people. They're following the rules and regulations to get what they want. You know, what's a vikarmi? Yeah. What? Vikarmi. We know what a karmi is, but what's a vikarmi? Yeah, they don't follow the rules. They do any old damn thing they want to get what they want, like that. Yeah, beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee, and enjoy life. You know? Yeah. So, vikarmis. If you're following the rules of karma, then you start to develop some wisdom, like that, right? You see about what is the relationship between men and women. You're following some marriage vows. Wow, beautiful garland coming. Incredible. My God, it's like a work of art. My goodness. Wow. Yeah. So, if you follow the rules and regulations of karma, you know, for example, you want to have a relation with the opposite sex, you get married, you know, and you understand so many things about the relationship between men and women. You understand that Romeo and Juliet is true. The only happy romance in the world is when the husband and wife die within 15 minutes after the wedding. Other than that, this whole thing, you know, it's like, and they live miserably ever after, like that. One man was on the beach in Los Angeles. He heard this story. He was walking along and he hit his foot on something and he pulled it out. It was a brass pot, kind of old, you know. So he started dusting off the sand like that. And a genie came out. Whoop! He said, my God, what is it? He says, oh my God, Kali Yuga. Okay, all right. You want to get one wish, you know. And you can't wish for more wishes. Now, what do you want, you know? The guy said, wow, you know. He said, well, you know, really, you know, I've always had this desire to go to Hawaii, you know, but I get seasick very easily. I can't stand airplanes, so I've never been able to go, and it's been something which always in my heart I've always wanted to do. Do you think you could build a highway to Hawaii like that? And the genie is thinking about it, and he says, oh my God, you know, so many pylons, columns, so much cement, everything else. He said, could you think of something a little bit easier, you know? The guy says, okay, thinking about it. He says, you know, I've been married, you know, like 7 years, and I've never been able to satisfy my wife, you know. Do you think you could arrange things so my wife was satisfied with me? The genie's thinking about it, and he says, now, did you want 1 or 2 lanes for that highway to Yeah. And you can reverse it the exact opposite. Everybody will satisfy my husband like that too, you know, so on. Okay, you know, yeah. So anyway, this is karma. You follow the rules and regulations. You see what's going on like that in terms of eating and everything else. You eat at regulated times. You see, you know, you're never going to be kind of happy by eating like that. Okay, so then what happens? You become a karmi, then you become a jnani, a wise man. You get real knowledge about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And then finally you want out of this world and you accomplish it. You become vimukti jnani. Just by following the rules and regulations of your acharya, you become liberated. Like that. And then you can take the devotional service. Brahmandi Brabanikon Bhagyabanji Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lada Bij. In this liberated state, this is also, by the way, from Rupa Shiksha, in chapter 19, that verse. Lord Chaitanya is describing all these different levels and finally coming to the Vimukti devotee, Vimukti Jnani, and he can take the devotional service very easily, in a very secure fashion. He gets the seed and he can cultivate it like that. You know? And then, of course, if you follow this, you actually become a sadhana bhakta, and then you become a pure devotee like that. Not all the pure devotees, the Brijavasis are, of course, the most intense. And out of those, the gopis are the most intense. And out of the gopis, Radharani is the most intense. So text number 11, he goes back to discussing Radhakund and Radharani. If you want to find alcoholics, where do you go? A bar. If you want to negotiate stocks, where do you go? Stock market. Yeah, like that. Yeah. So everybody has their location, their place, like that. You know, if you're in some strange town, you're stuck there on a Sunday morning. You look for some church. You go and okay, some religious people have a nice time. You know. So if you want to find pure devotional service, you go to Radhakund. And that's the final verse, like that. You know. That there's no ability to actually describe the full limits of the glories of Radhakund and Radharani's love for Krishna. And therefore, in this world, there's like a little manifestation of that. You know? It says when Lord Chaitanya found these two ponds in Shama and Gauri in the field and was taking his bath, you know, little shallows like that, pouring the water, he told his disciples that the original Radhakund was there. He didn't say this is Radhakund, he said the original Radhakund. It's like somebody comes from the jungle and they heard about music. You know, I want music. Give me music. So you point there and there's a music store. He takes the sign and goes back to his friends and say, I have music. No, that's just a sign. The original Radhakund, the waves are like powder blue nectar. The sand is made of, you know, fine diamonds or beautiful swans. It's like, you know, okay, yeah. If you go to Radhakund now in Vrindavan, that's not what you see. You know, like that. Yeah. And so, but it's there. It's like an indication. And if we live there and engage in following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, then we begin to see it all. We begin to appreciate there. Yeah. It's like Prabhupada says, you have a speck of dust on your eye. When it's removed, you'll see it all like that. Yeah. So this is Upadeshamrita. And by following this, you know, Prabhupada says we can become Goswamis and we can become pure devotees. Yeah. So any questions, comments? One more thing here. Yes, sir. Yeah, Prabhupada says devotees who live at Radhakund who engage in simple activities are not living at Radhakund. They're living at Narakund, which means the lakes of hell, like that. Yeah, Radhakund's a tough place. I mean, materially speaking, it's I think the Guinness Book of Records, it records Govardhan. It's the hottest known inhabited place on earth, like that. And supposedly Guru Das, he asked Prabhupada why it was hot there, so hot. And he said, because Krishna wants to see if you are sincere. Like that. It gets up, I don't know, but what is it, like 120 degrees or something, Fahrenheit, 55 degrees or something in the daytime. But the Rajasthani desert comes off in the summer. At nighttime it drops down maybe like 35 degrees or something, and you put on a sweater because it's so cold, you know, 35 degrees. This is mad. You know. Yeah. Well, not the super soul. Yeah, it's form direction from the super soul. It's like the deity is made of brass, marble, you know. So when Krishna incarnates in the intelligence, for example, Bhagavad Gita is the, Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is this literary incarnation of God, but it's also, he says, the intellectual incarnation of God, like that. Yeah, subtle, you know. The intelligence, too, when it has a certain form, is Krishna, like that. Yeah, ideas. Yeah. Certain ideas are Krishna. Like the Muslims one time in Jiva Dharma are criticizing one Vaishnava guy. Allah is not pleased when you make a statue of him and worship it. He's insulted. And he says, well, yeah, but the word Allah is sacred. They say, yes, the word Allah is sacred. He said, but it's a form. It's a material form. It's made from sound. Sound is a material element. You know? So they're kind of, they actually get on their horses and go away to try and insult their books and come back the next day to argue. But yeah. Yeah. So the Maha Mantra is also an incarnation of Krishna, in a form. So we have to pronounce it clearly, make it, you know, manufacture it nicely. Yeah. And so when the intelligence is in a certain form directing us to Krishna, Yam Shyama Sundaram Achinta Guna Swarupam, then that's you know, incarnation of Krishna in the intelligence. Yeah. 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 Again, everything is spiritual, you know, when it's used properly. Yeah. Yeah. It's subtle. Even killing 640 million people in 18 days. Prabhupada said Arjuna had a very difficult bhajan to perform. But he did it very nicely. So, now here's our nectar of instruction level 2. If you start looking up all the references that Prabhupada has in Nectar of Instruction, and of course you see that most of them just come from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. There's actually a translation of the Anuvritti, Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary. You see how closely Prabhupada's following, you know. But also he's adjusting it. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta never told anybody not to take LSD. I'm pretty sure of that. He never said, didn't tell anybody, don't take LSD. But in Upadeshamrita it says, don't take LSD. You know, yeah. So like that, Prabhupada had to adjust. Bhaktisiddhanta did have to tell people that achahara means having too many mystical powers. Right? You know, but Prabhupada doesn't have to tell people in the modern world, like, don't accumulate too many mystical powers. Like that is like, mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Yeah. So again, it's just time, place, and circumstance like that. Yeah. But the quotations and the citations that we find there, again, it's my experience just really focusing this one book and digging into it. These are not just like kind of like random citations that support the idea, but they are the verse which specifically deals with that topic, you know. So for example, in the very beginning, Prabhupada says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoyabe Akuti. Okay, so he actually he quotes that a few times, you know. So where's that from? Who wrote that? Who wrote that? Nartam Das Thakur. And where's it from? Prarthana. Yeah. And what's the song? What's the song? Goranga Bolite Habe. Yeah. And it's the, not just one song in Prarthana, it's the first song, right? Which introduces the whole thing and summarizes all the knowledge like that, pretty much, you know? So it's a very specific song, a very principal song. And, keep on going now, it's one of the only two songs, maybe three, that Prabhupada cites in all of his books. So many books, but only two songs does Prabhupada give the entire song in a purport. The Gauranga Bolite Habe in Adi Lila, chapter 7, text number 17. And the other one? Yeah. Other song is? And sorry, Rob, is your doll? Maybe, yeah. Yeah. But the Narada Muni. Huh? Yeah, it's actually two parts. He doesn't do both. Yeah, anyway. But other one is Narada Muni Bhajayavina, which is in the seventh canto. And I've heard that was Prabhupada's favorite song. You know, Narada Muni's traveling everywhere preaching the glories of the holy name. So it's a very, very principal song. You know, really, you know, salient. You know? And now if we look at it, And looking here, Adi Lila 717 on vedabase.org. Oh, offline. It's easy to read. It's offline here, too. Okay. And there it is. Okay. Kartals. And it's on page 70 in your songbooks there. So we should memorize this. Yeah? Chant it. And become happy.
Goranga bolite habe Pulaka sharir Hari hari bolite nai Yane babene Goranga bolite habe Pulaka sharir Hari Hari Boli Te Nai Yana Vavane Arakabe Nitai Chan Koruna Hoi Bai Sangsara Basana Mor Kabe Tu Chahabe Kabe Nitai Chan Koruna Hoi Bay Sangsara Basana Mor Kabe Tu Chahabe Ishaya Chadiya Kabe Shuda Habe Man Kabe ha maherabo Shri Vrindavanam Ishaya chadiya kabe Shudha be man Kabe ha maherabo Shri Vrindavanam Rupa Ragunata Pade Hoi Bae Akuti Kabe Hama Bujabo Shri Ugala Piriti Rupa Ragunata Pade Hoi Bae Akuti Kabe Hama Bujabo Shri Ugala Piriti Rupa Ragunata Pade Rahu Moran Prartana Koroje Sada Narotamadan Ragunata Pade Ode Morai Kartana Korode Sada Narotamada.
When will there be eruptions on my body as soon as I chant the name of Lord Chaitanya? And when will there be incessant tears as soon as I chant the holy names, Hare Krishna? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful toward me and free me from all desires for material enjoyment? When will my mind become completely freed from all contaminations of desires for material pleasure? Only at that time will it become possible for me to understand ISKCON. Only if I become attached to the instructions given by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das, will it be possible for you to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. And the last line is not here. That's the end of Prabhupada's translation. He says, by attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic position. What's the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya? Chanting Hare Krishna. So somehow or other, you come to a Hare Krishna festival, you come to the temple or something like that. You don't understand hardly anything, but you just chant Hare Krishna. And you feel ecstatic, you know, audible, wow. Just like it, you know. Okay. And then when that happens, we come to the ecstatic position. And then we can get the mercy of Nityananda. When Lord Nityananda sees that somebody has a little love for Lord Chaitanya, he becomes so enthusiastic. He's serving him. He gives him everything like that. And then by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he become a freed from the attachment to the material world. So first we become freed from our bad habits. We don't have to smoke or drink, all that kind of stuff. But the desire may still be there, you know. So go on like that, shudahabe mana. They actually don't agitate the mind anymore, you know. There's some time you think, well, how could I ever have smoked marijuana? You smell it and it's just like so repulsive. Wow, how could I ever even have thought of that? You know, like that. So first Nityananda gives us freedom from our attachments, and he gives us freedom from, Apple's trying to apply new software. He gives us freedom from the thoughts like that. And when our mind becomes free, then what happens? Kabihama Arabo. Then we can understand the spiritual world, like Vrindavan, like that. You know? Okay, and we can participate. We can live in Vrindavan. But that's not enough. Wow, Lord Chaitanya is offering something even more than living in Vrindavan. My goodness. So then we can understand the Manjaris, and we can get the mercy of the Manjaris, Rupa and Raghunath. Then we can understand the conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna. You know? Does Mother Yashoda know that Krishna is sneaking out at night to have affairs with girls? Does she want to know? If you tell her that, she'd probably poke in the nose like that. My boy doesn't do that, you know. Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's a little something, Radha and Krishna, something there, you know, like that. You know, a little something, you know. But no, like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this, they're very confidential. Even in Vrindavan, this is a confidential topic. Like that. I think Prabhupada said that most of Brajabasis are in Vatsalya Ras. They never say Radha Krishna, they always say Lala Lali. Like that, thinking of them like a little boy and girl, like that. Yeah, yeah. So very, very nice song. And Prabhupada says, okay, we understand Radha and Krishna. These are the different stages of a pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha and Krishna in an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. So such a nice song. He's summarizing the whole prarthana in this one song. Then after that, he just goes through step by step, as I understand. All the songs, one after another, different levels like that. You know, it's a whole contemplation like that. So very nice to memorize this song, you know, and each word like that, you know, chant it. You know, yeah. We had very nice interfaith dialogue with some Muslim people, Christians, others, and the Muslim guy would give a really nice explanation of interfaith and stuff like that. It was really nice. He was a Sufi. He came with his clan. I think he had two wives. You know, but they were all young people, you know. And they did Dikr, which is kirtan, chanting the names of God like that. And then he started talking about. He said, you know, it's like going up a mountain. You know, somebody's going to take the train, somebody's going to take his car, somebody's going to cut across on the footpath and catch the bus and, you know, be ahead of all of us. You know, he says there's many ways to go up the mountain like that. You know, but basically you got to see that you're achieving the goal, which is going to God like that. Yeah. Maybe somebody's path will be different than somebody else's. Like maybe somebody eating meat, you know. But what's happening? Is it coming progressively higher? You know? And he said we shouldn't be obsessed with the process itself. You know, become so attached to the process itself. We don't want to give up our car, get out of our car, and go see God when we come to His palace. Not attached to my car. You know, no, it's taking us on the way. You know, so many nice things. The only thing I disagreed with, was the coffee seemed to be an essential part of like self-realization in the Muslim process like that, drinking coffee, you know. But one thing he said really hit me was he said, yeah, you don't have to know so much. You have to apply what you know like that. It's more important to actually apply what you know like that. You know? Wow. Yeah. So, you know, some songs, different things, different people require different things, different combination. You have to find. Everybody has to have their yoga, their religion. You know, tough luck. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to figure out what is your combination if you're making the goal like that. So some kind of little summary of then the first part of Upadeshamrita and the whole ambience. And this is it. You know, the Goswamis, they're our way of achieving this. And Narottam Das is giving us an opportunity to appreciate, right? You know, all of our acharyas probably is doing nothing else, you know, but giving us the Rupa Goswami. Any final comments, questions? I guess I should turn on the microphone back on here. Any comments, Mother Mahalakshmi?
What?
Yeah. I had to turn off the speaker because it feeds back through the microphone. I haven't got a separate thing here. But I was looking for the chat message. You have any words of advice for all the devotees here in the temple room? Huh? Everybody's listening. Can you repeat that? I have to turn off the microphones because it's feeding back and chopping up. So can you repeat the question or comment again? Oh my God, that's lost. I just lost. Oh my God. Okay, forget it. Okay. Oh, that's funny. Okay. Hello? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and repeat your question. Yeah, one second. Oh my, okay, I had to unmute the microphone and drop the volume. I don't know, you know, the answer to that. Could be true, you know, like that. That's parampara, no? It keeps getting better and better. Everybody adds something like that, you know, so we have to add something too. So when we die, people don't curse us. You guys simply made it harder to understand Prabhupada rather than easier, you know? Yeah. But I don't know. It could be true. I just don't know. Yeah.
Okay, and do we need to read something for tomorrow? That's question number.
No. It looks like the way we're happening is just read David Haberman's, preface that we discussed today, introduction. And then tomorrow what I'll do is I'll go over the a summary of the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We'll do a whole summary like that. And I guess I should try and send you the PowerPoint show before class. My God, because I have more PowerPoint show. Anything else? Yeah, and anything else? Oh yeah, and I looked at the way that WebEx is conformed, and it appears it should be working. So try and log on, but you can't log on less than 15 minutes before it starts. So like, try about like 14 minutes or something before the class starts. You should be able to log on, and it should prompt you, you know, for the rich media add-ons, and you should be able to load those, and then we should all be together like that. If not, well, I guess we'll just...
Like 20 minutes before class?
No, you can up to 15 minutes before, but no more than 15 minutes before. Okay, maybe then tomorrow, Prahlad Nrisimha says he'll be there. So maybe tomorrow when you log on, we'll be there. We'll be there 15 minutes before. And 14 minutes before you can log on, and it should prompt you to load everything, and it should load easily, and then we should all be able to use WebEx. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Wow, amazing. One class. Pub is going to be a very technical class. All these different technical aspects. Big, you know, many women and children. Big Bombay program. It's very technical, you know. And he's talking over the microphone. He says, "So it's a science. You must know all these things, right? You must know all these things, you know." And he kind of leans back, and the public address microphone didn't pick it up, but the tape recorder picked it up, and Papa says, "But not right away."
Thank you.